All right, we're back
on the Fresh Takes podcast, Russo and Felice. Of course, I'm Paul Russo. Across from me, as always, after our 2 week sabbatical, man, myth, legend, and bold person wearing a hoodie in the studio tonight, Nick Felice. Nick, I hope you find a way to stay cool over there.
I'll be all right. AC was just on.
Yeah.
So we had 2 weeks off.
Yep.
And now we got another 2 weeks off because of why, Paul?
Me and Pat are heading on vacation here, and for the sake of, you know, being sure in case anything goes wrong, you know, we're gonna be off next week, but we'll be back obviously on July 30th. So
enjoy.
Thank you. We'll touch more on that July 30th episode later in the show. So
yes. And we have a guest today.
We do. Sorry.
You have mentioned him earlier.
Monthly appearance by Brother Pat.
He hasn't been on since the 100th episode. Or was it the 1 year?
The 1 year. The 100th episode.
Yeah, we're not at 100 yet.
You should just change that to just straight up soccer expert.
That was the joke I was going with, Pat.
You, not funny. Not funny.
How you doing today, Pat?
I'm great. I'm always good. How you guys doing?
How's work?
It's Nike. It's always wonderful. I can't complain about it ever. It's a great, great place to be. How's work with you?
I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm already sweating pretty good.
Well, then it sounds like a personal problem. Me and my performance dry fit training shit over here is wonderful.
Wow. And now he's selling us the product.
What a great employee.
It's my job.
Sell stuff. European football expert. What does that mean?
That means soccer? That means the Premier League.
No, that's just like soccer. I was trying to be...
La Liga?
I don't think Paul's joke's getting across to us.
The Bundesliga?
Bundesliga?
Italian
Series A? Italian
Serie A?
Try
again. My bad.
You don't know your Andre Modi.
I don't know what the hell this happened there, but it may seem like we have a short amount of things to go through, but these are the main stuff, a lot of stuff to get to within the topics. We're going to discuss the women's national team, winners of their second straight World Cup. Kawhi, we missed it, you know, by about 4 days, but we finally have Kawhi's desolation. It's LA, it's the Clippers. So we'll discuss a little bit of that. And obviously all the stuff within it, because it's a lot of interesting things in there. And then the MLB is under their second half. We'll discuss, you know, obviously all the stuff going on there. Buyers, sellers, who's, you know, real, who's fake. Stat leaders, all that kind of fun stuff. And then our final fresh take of the night. All three of us got our own. So quite a lot of...
You got one?
I got one.
Alan, do you not remember what he told us?
I'll be surprised.
Save it for later.
It's not a secret for us. It's a secret for the viewers and listeners.
Save it for later.
Okay. You know, Pat's not being hostile, and it's kind of frightening me. So
it's been a while for him.
It has.
I said we'll save it for later, man.
But so without any further ado, I suppose.
Good thing we have Pat for this topic.
Because like I said, the women's national team, they bring home the World Cup, defeating the Netherlands 2-0 in the Stanley in the World Cup final.
Stanley Cup final.
I need to go to the penalty box for that one.
I think you offended Pat over here.
Yeah, you did, comparing that ragtag sport to soccer.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's
now
on
you just offended Paul.
I just
Paul
admitted that one's on me, you know? Jeez.
Sorry. Three periods.
That one was rough. It's...
Making an even number. Two halves or four quarters. What's this three periods?
You want to know what?
Sorry.
Pat, we'll toss to you first. Obviously, all of the people right now in this room, obviously, you pay attention to soccer more than us.
The most.
You'll be able to break...
Not just more, but...
I feel like you'll obviously be able to break this down a little bit better than us, but it felt like this Netherlands team was better than probably what at least the average viewer probably gave them credit for.
Netherlands team is phenomenal.
So this 2-0 score and how they got there, you know... was it, obviously 2-0 is close still nonetheless, was it a closer game than what the score showed?
Yes. I'll start off by saying that Megan Rapinoe PK
61st minute
didn't really fully agree with it. I don't like their use of going back to the VAR. They used that way too much. They overturned way too many ticky-tack calls in the box that turned into PKs that actually led, I believe it was Nigeria, led to their elimination out of the group stage when they were about to get a point and move on. It gave them a loss. In a situation, it's quite literally like any other review you have in sports. It needs to be clear, whatever, all that fun evidence, clear and concise evidence to overturn it, to have it be an obvious foul. Alex Morgan did get kicked. They said it was in the shoulder region. They said there was no play on the ball. I would have let it go because the United States still had a corner. That's just my look on it. That's my opinion on it. They used the VAR way too much. That being said, going into this World Cup, the Netherlands were dubbed the Dark Horse for very obvious reasons. They are young. They are fast. They are very tactical, as most European nations are. The United States deserves a lot of credit defensively. The one way you beat the Netherlands is you don't give them any free kicks. You don't give them any set pieces. You don't give them corners, any of that stuff. United States defense did a phenomenal job. I think the Netherlands only had one set piece, and the United States defended it perfectly. The Netherlands coming in, their team was taller than us. I would even go out and say their team was faster than us. That PK helped. Rose Lavelle's goal was phenomenal. That was a very good goal.
FIFA-esque.
If you want to go FIFA-esque, you can go that way. Beat a defender, left foot right to the bottom corner on the ground. Goalie couldn't get to it. It was a great goal. That was the one that sealed it. But our women's national team is getting older. They don't have the same young firepower they had. You know, Wambach obviously retired. She moved on. But they still had the firepower coming up with Lloyd, who is now moving on as well. Rapinoe, who will probably not be seen in the next World Cup unless it's like the Carly Lloyd scenario of she'll be coming off the bench last 10, 15 minutes just to give a spark, or is one of those send-offs.
Same thing with Tobin Heath as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. This is going to piss off a lot of people. Love Alex Morgan. She's a great player. She gets way too much credit.
That's actually a point I kind of wanted to bring up, not to cut you off, because a lot of credit is being shown to Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, and you brought up how well that defense is, and I want to bring up how well their goalkeeping was with Alyssa, I hope I pronounced her name right, Nair.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out there.
She was phenomenal. She, like the England game, for instance, you brought up the VR situation. She stopped literally probably the game deciding moment in the 80th or 81st minute of that PK.
And well, the first VAR moment came from an offsides call where they needed to zoom in to see like the stud of a cleat being offside.
Most national media is paying attention to Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe right now.
Right. And there's other reasons for them being the face of some stuff, and that's actually what I'm going to touch on later. But for people that – so the Netherlands
even,
has a
even
very –
like a playing wise, though.
Well, here's the thing. The Netherlands has a very good defense, and so does England. So what I don't think many people realized was when Alex Morgan is pressured or when she's just playing a halfway decent defense – her touches are terrible, her shots are terrible, and she can't get herself open. She can only score on an open net from 6 yards away. She had two or three opportunities in the finals, couldn't score. Tobin Heath, one-on-one the goalie two times, didn't even get a shot off. I don't know why. It's the World Cup finals. Obviously, you're playing the second-best team that's left standing. 2-0 in the 70th minute, you have an open shot, you're not taking it. You're not going to try to definitely seal at that point. The women's defense, I want to take Myers Academy's offense for soccer. I hope they're listening to this. I want to put them up against that defense because that defense has more holes than Swiss cheese. They did good in the World Cup finals, but you could play that ball over them, through them, or around them. It didn't matter. That ball was getting through that defense, and they were going to get a shot. Nair was quite it was kind of like Tim Howard in his last World Cup. Goalie saved the day every single time. Megan Rapinoe played very good. This Netherlands team, because they're so young, because they're so fast and tactical, depending on who's still left from the women's team, this Netherlands team could be the favorite in 2023. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are. They are phenomenal. They will have a couple of their older players on, and I say older, they're probably 32, 33 right now, but they're going to be on their way out, making way for a bunch of new young talent. I don't see much new young talent coming up from the women's side, almost like we used to see with the rise of Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd and all those other players. This one, you're seeing them ride out the more experienced players as much as they possibly can, which makes me wonder, do we still have that young talent coming up? So we'll see what happens. Obviously, props to the women's team. We've won 4 out of 8 Women's World Cups. I mean, 50% of them. We're the powerhouse. We're the nation to look up to when it comes to it. The Netherlands are hot on our tails, though. And it's going to come down to if we get that defense figured out, because we're going to score. Every game, the women's team scores 2-3 goals. They're always putting the back of the net. Just a matter of how that defense can hold up.
Good job, yeah. Nick, I know you kind of – I know you watched the final game.
Yes.
The finals game per Snapchat. So from the fan on the couch perspective, what was the game like for you?
He was on a couch, too.
I was sitting in a recliner. But Pat has the ability, because he pays attention to soccer enough, he has the ability to look at it from
– So I'm dumb, is what he's saying. Out of the dumb perspective of the game.
What he's saying is you only watch the
World Cup. No, I'm just saying.
How many holes were in Swiss cheese?
A lot.
It depends.
A lot.
Can there be like 6 holes? I thought that many holes to a game, soccer or defense.
That's a lot of holes in a soccer defense, considering you only have 4 people in the back.
Horses in the back.
Anyway. I don't really like penalty kicks. I think that is stupid. But in the finals, Alex Morgan did get fouled there. That was a cleat to the shoulder. It's a foul. It's a foul.
It was they described it as the shoulder area.
The shoulder area. But here's the thing I don't understand about soccer. I don't mean to rip on soccer. Congratulations to the women. They're the best country in the world, other than men's basketball.
That team specifically is the best country in the world.
I mean, that team did win best team at the ESPYs, so.
But I just don't get – can someone please explain to me why does someone get fouled and they don't even have to kick the penalty kick? That's like – DeAndre Jordan getting fouled and they send the best free throw shooter up. Or Dwight Howard and the best free throw shooter gets a shoot for them. I don't like that. I don't like that. I think if Alex Morgan gets fouled, she should be the one kicking it. Thoughts?
I understand where you're coming from.
I hope so.
No, I do understand that point. I guess my only rebuttal for it would be...
Play it on me.
Even though if you do get fouled in the box, play instantly stops. Actually, no, I can't even use the injury scenario because if a basketball player gets injured, the other team gets to pick who goes up and kick or takes the free throws. I don't really have a rebuttal for it because that is a solid point.
It's always been like that.
I got nothing.
Back over to me.
That's a very solid point. I don't know why it is done that way. We should call into FIFA and see if they'll change that rule.
Seriously, I don't. They let the best kicker shoot every time, right. And it's already easy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the best player shoot it. And
PKs aren't as easy as you think.
In a sport where it's so hard to score, it can end by that.
PKs aren't as easy as you think.
Well, in my mind, they're pretty easy.
Well, you should go kick one. It's like all those people that said, I can kick a 43-yard field goal better than Cody Park. You can't. Go try it. You didn't even kick it 10 yards.
I didn't say that. That's a terrible
thing. I'm just saying the people that did. Go try
to kick it. You think I'm those people?
No, I'm just saying go try to kick a PK.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
we've heard it from Pele here, but
I
our uncle met Pele. Fun fact.
I don't know how.
Yeah, photographic proof of that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can say to me and Paul that the U.S. will not be favored next World Cup.
I said it depends who they have. It's one of those situations like, okay, the Raptors just won, but they lost Kawhi. So are they still the favorites to win? No. So if we lose Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, and Carly Lloyd is definitely not going to be there. If we lose those three, why should we be favored?
But women's soccer is not like the NBA.
Okay, that's also a solid point.
But athletics are athletics. I mean,
yeah. Women's soccer.
I'm going to, Nick, did you watch any of the World Cup other than the finals?
Yes.
I mean,
tactically, our women are starting to fall into the men's style of play.
Abs I just catched, you know, wasn't the United States.
Yeah, but you guys got to remember, too, like, time is undefeated. Like,
I know. The Netherlands have a very young team, women's soccer, very fast team.
Is like one division in the NBA.
Okay, I do see your point. But like I said, it depends who's still there when we get to 2023. Alex Morgan should be there.
I think Netherlands is good. That goalie was the best goalie on the field in that finals.
She did a phenomenal job. To be honest, that score should have been 4-5-0.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe one. Netherlands, they have a couple chances. They did have where they scored, it was like 8 of their 14 goals or something like that on set pieces. They had a set piece opportunity. I just think there was some sort of miscommunication in it because the ball got crossed and no one ran for the ball thinking it was going to be a shot. So probably just a little bit of miscommunication. But this, like I said, this Netherlands team is young. They're fast. They're tactical. At the end of the day, if they're not the favorites, they're going to be right behind the United States women's team. They're going to be there gunning for them, and they might actually perform better than them.
Fair.
The women's team is getting older, and I haven't seen enough young talent come through. Like Rose Lavelle, she's going to be there for a couple more World Cups. But the rest of them, I don't know if they got enough time. I don't know if they got 4 years to build that experience, all that World Cup qualifying. They'll get through in World Cup qualifiers, obviously. I mean, the only threat to us is Canada, and we beat them like 4-0 every time we play them. So,
but can we just say Paul was so close
with
predicting the score right? He said it was going to be 2-1, just like all the other scores.
It could have been 2-1. Very easily could have been 2-1.
I mean, I had a quick, I guess, rebuttal to Nick, though. Like, at least for a decent portion, I guess, of our generation, like, and Pat kind of alluded to it but didn't say it, but like, so like the team that always gave the U.S. team from the women's side fits was obviously a very good Japan national team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you can see how they kind of I was about to bring it up. They aged fast. I mean, we saw in this World Cup they made it to the round of eight?
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything. I think they actually lost in the Netherlands, I believe. But I'm not 100% too sure. Don't quote me on this.
Netherlands are going to be a solid team.
So, I mean, obviously it's cyclical, but I mean, this Japan team was thought of to be one of the next great, not dynasties, obviously. They did win one. But, I mean, they were the team that always gave us fits, and I mean, I think this Netherlands team, as Pat says, I mean, they're young enough.
They're good.
They're going to have very little turnover in, what is it, 3 years?
Well, wait, who are the one? Our national team?
Yeah, well, compared to, well, for the next World Cup.
Oh, we're going to, well, obviously the World Cup's every 4 years, so yeah. 2023, but.
So they'll have relatively little turnover compared
to. We're going to have a high one. Alex Morgan, actually, now I think about it, Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe might have that Carly Lloyd treatment where they only come off the bench because Morgan's going to be turning 34 during the next World Cup. Yeah. And Lloyd's, what, 34 right now, 35?
I wouldn't be surprised if Rapinoe's.
And they've ran Alex Morgan into the ground. They don't sub her maybe once every year. When she gets a sub.
I mean, it's kind of coaching philosophy, so. I guess, at this point now.
Mm.
You know, you'll get previous coaches for the women's team. They've ran the risk because these players are obviously good, but you run the risk youth-wise, inexperience on these platforms, and they've tended to succeed. And now you got the new regime in there, and as Pat says, they kind of go with experience as opposed to kind of like a combo of experience and youth. So I think it's yeah, I mean,
I've still got faith in the women's team. Yeah.
This is the best USA team we have.
Soccer wise?
Other than men's basketball.
Yeah, I was gonna say, probably. Yeah. But this women's team, every year they're gonna be in contention. I have no doubt that their training and, you know, all that other stuff, that they will get those younger players ready. It's just a matter of their first World Cup in 2023. Are they going to be ready enough to carry that load to three-peat? Or are they going to just bomb out, and then in 2027 is when we see that group come into the, you know, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan era and see what they can do from there? Because back, like, it's 2015, unstoppable. No one was touching us. So we'll see.
I will say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Press.
She's one of the people that she's going to be Morgan's replacement. She'll be Alex Morgan's replacement.
Oh, she already beat Alex Morgan out.
She's
the best looking one on the team. But
I was going to say she's a very.
But I'm a big Carly Lloyd fan. Something about her. But that's it for me. That's all I got.
Was her name Christian Press?
Is it Christian or Kristen?
Gonna be Kristen.
I'm gonna go Kristen Press. Kirsten? I don't know. She's gonna be a very good forward. She's probably gonna be the at least offensive leader of that team in the next World Cup and in qualifiers. They just are doing a two forward attack there with Morgan and Press.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, Pat.
All right, thanks. I'll see you guys August, whatever. Have a good night.
Solid first topic, boys. I enjoyed that.
I'm just kidding. I'm still here.
So,
oh, God.
We'll move on to the second topic now. We'll get a move on. Kawhi signs with the Clippers. I was, I guess, somewhat right in this regard, too. I said it was either there or Toronto. If you ask Chris Broussard, he was going to the Lakers, hands down. But, yeah, this is now a very interesting theme to watch with Kawhi. And then, obviously, probably the bigger piece in this is the trade for Paul George. So they got two perennial, obviously, all-stars, first-team candidates, obviously probably Hall of Famers. This team all of a sudden becomes probably the favorites out west, I'd say.
Best defensive mind. Team in the league.
Certainly best defensive team.
I think you got
this is a team that is the ultimate now combo of all-star, like that all-star flash and that grit and grind kind of. You got obviously Kawhi and Paul George, but now alongside him you got Pat Beverly, who ultimate thorn in your side guy that you want on your team.
But also a dirty player.
Yeah.
Definitely throwing that in there.
But
he'll get suspended twice this year.
A lot of key things, a lot of key pieces in this deal. Obviously, the haul that Oklahoma City got back, five first-round picks, two of which that they can move around at their own choosing. Paul George will become a free agent in 2021. Kawhi has an opt-out in his contract for that, so they can both enter free agency together and go probably wherever together again. So there's a lot of flexibility there. Jerry West gets it done again in a third team now. Moves from the Lakers as an executive to Golden State as an executive. Built obviously both of those teams, Kobe and Shaq teams / Kobe and Powell teams to obviously the Splash Brothers dynasty, as we can call it for sure now. And has been now in the Clippers organization for about a year and a half, almost pushing 2 years here coming up, and is finally starting to make moves there, you know, kind of sculpting this team out to his own vision. So a lot of interest up there. Obviously, Doc Rivers gets back into the game with, you know, all-star caliber players. He hasn't had that pretty much in a full year now. So this Clippers team kind of has all the right ingredients to make that move, should they be able to replace, I guess, Golden State here, kind of, you know, with the two, with their two people now probably more than likely all year being Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell. Of course, now there's obviously other pieces. Obviously, Houston getting Russell Westbrook in a trade, shipping Chris Paul to Oklahoma City. So the West has now become the Wild West for sure. Not to mention, obviously, the Lakers with LeBron and Anthony Davis. So you got about, what is it now? You got four teams kind of with these two stars and a bunch of other guys around them. But then you still got teams like Portland and Denver and Utah.
They got,
you know,
two stars total. Huh?
Yeah. Portland's got two stars.
Yeah, but they're more not to downgrade, but they're closer to their counterparts than the other guys are. As much as I love Damian Lillard,
does Washington have two stars?
So,
anyway, not for long.
Not to get too off track, obviously, with that. But you know, what were your guys' thoughts, obviously, with Kawhi? Because this was, he kind of went about it in silence.
Well, that's the typical Kawhi way. But first of all, doing good with the sweatshirt on.
God, I'm sweating.
Good to know. Good to know.
I'm sweating like
crazy. Actually, thank you for that update. I was a little concerned.
I'm sweating like crazy over here.
Well, they are a very good defensive team.
My shirt may come off at some point.
Give us a forewarning. Yeah, the West is the wild, wild West. But if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, yes, they sure do get a lot of first-round draft picks.
See you in 2026.
But when you get all when you get all these picks when the draft just happened, how can you get excited? Like you have to wait a whole year just to get another draft, and that's not even all the picks. And they got a Chris Paul who you know is going to be miserable.
They said they're going to flip him though. At least they're trying to flip him.
Flip him where?
To whoever will take him.
Yeah, because he will be miserable.
Somebody's going to have to get pretty good. They're going to have to get a pretty decent portion.
And then other than Steven Adams and Chris Paul, can you name three players on the Thunder?
Andre Roberson.
I don't even know if that's his name. But
Andre, what is it? Andre Roberson?
Yeah, it's Andre Roberson. Abrines.
Dennis Schroeder's still there.
Yep. Abrines.
And Alex Abrines. There you go. There's three.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for Wasey.
Shout out 2K.
26. Yeah. 20 seconds of your life.
Steven Adams.
He said other than Steven Adams.
Yeah. I thought he said other than. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, it's not good for the Thunder. Rockets? Are we liking? I know it's mostly about Kawhi and the Clippers. They're going to be good. They got a great coach. Just trying to get you along with the Clippers. They got the best defensive team in the league. They'll be fine. It's wild. It's okay. So who knows who's going to win the title. But are we liking the Rockets? I think there's just too much craziness there. One guy likes to shoot 60 times a game. The other guy likes to go 100 miles an hour a game. And
it's too ball
dominant. It is nuts, though, that we have two guys that were going for the MVP just 2 years ago. On the same team.
And on former team. On a former team as well. It used to be team.
I think it's going to be a mess in Houston. But it's not going to be the bigger mess in L.A.
Which L.A.?
Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mess. That's another story. You get Anthony Davis out or LeBron now. It's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They could miss the playoffs and it's going to be disaster.
If they miss the playoffs, then like everyone on the Lakers might die.
But we're talking about Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy that doesn't play the whole year. Doesn't have to. Paul George. He did all right with the injury this year. Didn't get too hurt. But you never know when injuries can affect. When you only have two stars on the team, like all these guys do, you get one of those guys to go down, your team all of a sudden becomes not as valuable. And it depends when it happens in the season. If it happens later in the season, it affects your playoffs. Happens early in the season, it might affect your regular season, but at regular season don't really matter in the NBA if you're a good team. But, I mean, I don't know, Pat, what do you think? Why? You like the Clippers?
Before I touch on that, I love D'Angelo Russell. He gave me a reason to believe in the Nets again this year. Now we got Kyrie, KD, and DeAndre Jordan. I love it. please don't disrespect Draymond Green like that ever again. He is that number two option. You want to talk about Patrick Beverley being a thorn in the side? I understand Draymond Green is probably the dirtiest player in the NBA. But he's a thorn in your side.
Over Grayson Allen?
He's definitely still a dirtier player than Grayson Allen.
Grayson.
Grayson Allen's only had one incident in the NBA, right? And that was during the summer league.
Wow. Are you talking about the one this past summer?
That happened like 3 days ago.
Yeah. That was kind of like a multiple thing that ended up spilling over again.
Okay, so anyways, my point of it is Draymond Green, I feel like, is always discussed about for the defensive player of the year, and not a single person realizes he is the glue guy for Golden State. I understand they need the Splash Brothers, but you lose Draymond, that team doesn't win. I say they go under 500 if they lose Draymond. He's the glue guy. Paul? Please don't disrespect Draymond like that. He's a dirty player. You don't have to like him.
If they lose Draymond, they're under 500.
Especially for this year, yeah.
Oh.
This year, 100%.
No, but you were talking about with the Durant team.
Not with the Durant team, but like if you're looking at their current roster, even with a healthy Clay.
Team.
Yes, with a healthy Clay minus Draymond, they go under 500 still.
Yes, I agree.
He's their glue guy.
I thought you were talking about last year's team.
No. With KD, they're fine. KD's the best player in the world. Anyways.
Is he?
Okay, we're getting back to this. Please give Draymond the credit he deserves. You can hate him all you want, but he's a great basketball player. Get into this Kawhi thing. Clippers won't win the title.
But weren't you talking about D'Angelo Russell? What happened to him?
Because Paul brought up Stephen D'Angelo being the one and two guys in Golden State. And like I said, I love D'Angelo. He gave me reason to believe in the Nets again.
When they're down by like whatever, I mean, the options is going to fall Steph and then D'Lo.
You're right, but you're not making a game plan for being down by 27 points.
So
no one
Draymond's
does that.
A two and not McCollum.
What?
I love this.
I'm saying
your
number
commentary.
Two. Okay, just stop.
So no. Draymond is a two, but McCollum is not a two.
Number. McCollum is a number two option in Portland.
No, he's not a star number two.
Yes, he is. Who do you think the two stars in Portland that I was talking about were?
Oh, that's right. Paul didn't think he was.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Paul, who's about?
Stop. Can we talk? Can you let me talk about Kawhi?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you're the one who went down that path.
So the Clippers won't win the title this year. It's gonna be the same reason why the Heat didn't win it the first year with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, because that was a better team than this Clippers team. They don't have the chemistry to get it done when it matters. That being said, the West is still wide open. You can just pull a name out of a hat at this point to see who's going to come out of the West. Who knows? The Kings might
do
it.
No, we're not doing that. We're playing out. No chance Lakers make it, please.
It's a 1-15 chance.
Nope.
You really think we're
nope.
pulling the... Okay, we won't do that.
Even if it gives the Kings a shot, no.
We're
not giving them a chance.
So, yeah, I don't know who's going to come out of the West this year. It's going to be interesting to see.
Clippers.
No, they won't come out of the West.
Toppers.
Why?
I just told you for the same reasons the Heat.
Why? Kawhi. Why?
I think you Kawhi. Mean. I think you mean Kawhi.
Trying to get in his head. Kawhi.
Oh my God. It's gonna be the same reason like the Heat. They're not gonna have the chemistry to get it done.
In the East,
when they had the Heat, was literally Miami, Boston, and no one else. This West is wide open. Anyone could take them down. Because once Klay gets healthy, they could have a first-round matchup with Golden State. That could be a tough series. Your second round, I know we got some two-ball dominant players out in Houston. That could be a tough out for them. Western Conference Finals in Denver is an extremely tough out. In L.A. against the Lakers might be a tough out, even though it's a home game for both of them.
Who's better, Draymond or C.J. McCollum?
Defensively, Draymond. Offensively, C.J. Next question.
Overall?
I will take Draymond Green over CJ McCollum.
Paul?
We already know. I mean, actually, I don't know. He doesn't consider either of them a star.
I mean, I probably. Right. In today's NBA, I'm probably taking CJ.
I'm taking CJ.
10 years ago, I'm probably. 10 years ago, even, I'm probably taking Draymond.
I'll take Draymond today, tomorrow, yesterday, 2 weeks ago, 3 years ago, 18 years ago. I'm taking Draymond.
But any thoughts on Paul George?
Playoff P.
That was a very solid player to draw in. I guess the only downfall to it is when Kawhi and Paul George both need a breather and they only have three guards on their roster, one of them's got to be a small forward. One of them, you're going to have, like, what, Pat Beverly guarding LeBron? Ooh, 6'3 Pat Beverly against 6'8, 285 LeBron, who's negative body fat.
How come you didn't say Beverly's weight?
Because Beverly's probably, like, 140 soaking wet. He looks like a small dude. Okay, he's not 140. He's probably, like, 185. But, like, if he's got to guard LeBron, LeBron's going to run through him like he's trying to, like, run through his daughter. Like, it's not going to be a challenge for LeBron. Let's
Kawhi.
Here we go, Kawhi. It's going to be fun to watch the West this year. Wait for KD to come back. The East is going to be fun, and my Brooklyn Nets might finally reach the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch the West during the weekend. I ain't watching it at 10:30 at night.
No, this is not a
weekend. That's my take.
What if the Knicks got an out West game on ESPN?
Then I'm loyal. I'll watch.
Hey, we got him. Okay.
The first half. But it's Hubie Brown and Mark Davis.
Hubie.
Brooklyn and six. Man, that's our bag.
Of the midseason tournament.
I guess we'll head into the final main topic of tonight. The MLB, we're in the dog days of summer now for them. Or as I decided to call it, the dag days.
Is that on purpose?
No, it's not.
Are the A and the O even near each other on a keyboard?
No, not really. In fact, they're at the exact opposite end of the keyboard.
I don't know how you made that, but okay. Next,
but hey.
Next topic.
Do you even know what's next to the T on the keyboard?
Look, I'm sweating. Next to a T? It's sweating. It's hot.
Is it?
It is.
You guys
you got the
there?
R on the left and the Y on the right.
Dag days.
Hey, this base, the stretch run here is shaping up to be really awesome if you're a baseball fan in general here. If you're like Nick, probably going to suck. He wants Robo ups. But
I'm into cricket now.
We already got the trade market. We already got the trade market kind of heating up a little bit. Not really, but sort of, you know, the Cubs.
16 days away.
Are we considering Martin Maldonado heating it up?
Well, it's stoking the coals.
Andrew Cash.
That's right. We have the Cashner trade.
Wow. Homer Bailey, two-time no-hitter.
Didn't that happen like 3 weeks ago?
What?
Homer Bailey.
No.
That was literally
last week.
I think it was 2 days ago.
But anyway.
Okay.
Solid you know, point. the talk has been, you know, Bellinger and Yelich, but they're no longer leading, you know, anymore, the batting race. That title belongs to Jeff McNeil of the New York Mets.
Did you not know that?
Who?
Your boy Bellinger's not leading.
No.
Landslide Bellinger.
It's Jeff McNeil, Pat.
It is landslide Bellinger still.
No.
What's Jeff McNeil have? Like a home run, three RBIs, and 18 McChickens?
I mean, I was going to say, you know, Yelich, but whatever.
Feel bad for Jeff McNeil.
Why? Because he's on the Mets?
He finally made the All-Star game.
He's on the Mets. Yeah. Oh, he didn't play.
Jacob DeGrom's picture was on the scoreboard for him. He was actually really upset. And Dahl's name was spelled wrong.
Of course.
Oh, wow. Just Cleveland things.
I'm hot, man.
I am surviving, but that sucks, though.
How are you surviving?
I feel bad for him.
One thing he looks at, scoreboard.
I feel bad for the dude. Like, you throw – like, did they have, like, any rhyme or reason for having DeGrom's picture? Were they just like, yeah, just throw it up there? Like, just –
And then David Dahl, his name is just spelled wrong.
That is really sad because for some of these guys, it might be their only All-Star appearance ever.
I know.
And
that's what he said. He's like, that's what I first look up is the scoreboard, and it's not even me.
Yeah. That's really upsetting. I do feel bad for him. I didn't know about that. I love to make fun of the Mets, but that actually is very sad.
And you didn't even know he was leading the average.
I don't care.
Paul?
Yeah.
You didn't know. Can you tell him something else Bellinger's not leading in? Like maybe RBIs?
Well, you know, I guess.
Is a certain someone on the Pittsburgh Pirates leading in the RBI race?
Yes.
Is his name Chris Archer?
Yep.
Could you imagine if Chris Archer had the most RBIs? Oh, man. Josh Bell for MVP.
Bellinger is leading home runs now.
That's not a surprise. He has a home run in like 11 of their 14 games, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's something crazy. Look it up.
But
I'm not gonna lie, guys, I'm frightened by the way you're speaking right now.
Okay.
Well, Paul, you were not done talking. We interrupted you.
Josh Bell.
We knew Josh Bell was leading RBIs.
Oh, dick ass. My bad.
Oh, wow. He looked it up.
Oh, hey, Paul.
Yeah, what?
You woke Nick up.
My bad. Anyway.
Yeah, back to what you were saying.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the NL, I know things are kind of, you know, tight. I think that's a fair assumption. You got the wild card game. You have pretty much, I think, like 9 teams within 3 games of each other or something like that.
Yeah, there's only like a few teams out of it.
The AL, not like as tight, but still, you know, pretty much.
There's teams.
Still only a couple teams that I'd say are truly out of it at this point. You know, sorry Baltimore and Kansas City fans. Even Detroit fans, I guess.
Say it. Seattle.
Seattle, yeah. Kansas City today officially said that they'd be sellers, so obviously guys like Billy Hamilton become available. You know, obviously.
Whit Merrifield?
Oh, yeah. Let me take Billy Hamilton to pinch run in the ninth inning for
me. I don't know if Whit will be available only because they signed him to the extension this offseason.
They better not trade him.
Well, if they trade him to the Pirates.
Ian Kennedy will be available. I mean, this will all be interesting because you're going to have a lot of people, especially on the NL side, buying in. So you're going to see a lot of, I guess, high prices for players this year. I know, like, for instance, the Mets, they're looking like they'll probably be selling at the deadline.
Shocker.
They got scouts pretty much going everywhere, looking at literally top 5 prospects for each team. So that goes to show what this deadline will be like. You will see, you know, the pipeline guys getting dealt this deadline, because just the way, you know, you look at teams and you look at players who will be selling it on the move. Obviously, you know, a lot of people are pointing at the Giants saying Bumgarner's going to be dealt. You know,
see the biggest name out there.
We're not. Well, I don't know if he's so much.
I think he's that type of guy like Verlander. If you were comparing to Verlander, you in the later years in Detroit, you thought his career was fading off.
Well, that's because Verlander was dogging it.
And he goes to Houston, and he's rejuvenated his entire career, and is an elite pitcher. I think if Bumgarner goes to another a contender, he will be that elite pitcher he was years ago. Your thoughts?
On Bumgarner, just in general?
Bumgarner.
I think regardless of where he goes, it's the beginning of the end. Because they've thrown his name around with, like, the Yankees.
I don't really want Bumgarner. That's a
short portion. He's getting hit. The AL has the American League, the lineups are loaded. You're throwing three times a month at Yankee Stadium. He's going to get tatted there, man.
The Yankees also have a plethora of left-handed arms starting-wise.
Yeah, but Bumgarner can come out of the bullpen when need be.
He is not going to want that, though.
To win a ring? You don't think he would?
No. The dude's too much of an egomaniac.
He does have a big ego. Okay. I would take Bumgarner.
I mean, I'd take him, but as long as he's okay with moving to the bullpen.
I don't know. You asked me a month ago, I would have told you Scherzer was going to be the biggest name on the market, and all of a sudden the Nationals had the second best record in June at, like, what was it? Like, 20-9 or some absurd record that. So.
I would not move. I wouldn't move Scherzer unless I'm getting, like, the other team's top 2 prospects or their top player in their top.
Would you trade Scherzer for Mike Trout?
If I'm the Angels, God, no. If I'm the Nationals, hell yes.
Why not even ask?
The best position player in baseball. Putting him in the outfield with 2 other young studs.
The analytics disagree.
The analytics agree with Trout being the best player in baseball.
Speaking of, we're talking about the Dag days.
Yeah.
Does Trout win MVP?
Yes. Who else in the American League has got him right now?
Even on that terrible...
DJ LeMahieu?
Actually, Angel's been playing better, but...
Yeah, but they're going to sit down and look and be like, so what's going to be better for baseball? If Trout wins another MVP or if DJ LeMahieu gets it?
So we'll give it to Trout, who was on another losing team, and...
I'm not disagreeing with those statements at all, but you want to use, like, a losing team argument, I guarantee you can go through, and at least once a year, there's probably an MVP from a losing team.
Yeah, but you look at, like... You look at the Yankees, like, the way that their season's played out so far, like, LeMahieu's been consistent all year. Like, if he's not on that team, what is that team?
I'm not disagreeing.
He's helped out with the injuries.
I'm not disagreeing with that statement, but where would the Angels be without Trout?
Same spot, probably.
No, they'd be even worse. Also, if we want to...
Oh, so they go from fourth place in the division
if
to fifth.
If we want to be...
Big difference.
If we want to be technical with all this winning and losing, Jacob deGrom for Cy Young last year.
He also had absurd stats, though, to back it up. Like, I had a sub-2 ERA.
But Mike Trout's stats are normal.
He also played on a terrible Mets team.
Yeah.
So you're justifying DeGrom but not Trout.
I'm not. I'm one of the guys who say I don't think it matters, but like there, DJ LeMahieu, I think, deserves it over Trout.
I just said DeGrom didn't deserve it.
Oh.
Excuse me? Because he was on a bad Mets team.
Right. I'm throwing this out there. You can't sit there and say winning matters for a hitter but not for a pitcher. As a pitcher, your job is to win. Literally, winning is one of the stats of pitching, not for hitting. Like, to sit there and say, you know, Trout doesn't deserve it because he's on a losing team. Well, what if he's the reason that they only have 65-70 wins, which is the case most years for the Angels? The dude's... I don't understand how you don't think he's the best position player in baseball. I don't understand how he's not a perennial MVP candidate in your mind.
I think LeMahieu deserves it over him.
Only player in MLB history to have 8 years, his first 8 years, 25-plus home runs. I'm pretty sure he's already approaching, like, 100 RBIs. The dude's a nut.
Did he deserve to win when Miguel Cabrera hit the triple crown?
No.
Yes.
Mike Trout? Wait.
Mike Trout?
No. No. He did not deserve to win it the year Miguel Cabrera won the triple crown.
Okay, he's normal.
It's about the numbers you have and the impact you have on your team.
Now, okay, we're talking about the DAG days.
Okay, back to the DAG days.
On the baseball preview show.
Okay.
The loyal fans know.
Okay.
Pat.
Yes.
Quote.
Yes.
The Houston Astros will finish in fifth place. End quote. Pat, your rebuttal.
Not looking good.
Oh, Houston.
Not looking good.
Do you want
me to call it the video evidence?
Hold on. You're injured. You're still winning. I got nothing else to say. So congrats. You proved me wrong. Woohoo.
Anyway, going back to that preview baseball show.
Next?
I didn't even know who I was going to pick in the World Series. But at the very end of it, I just threw out two team names. You want to know the two teams I threw out? The Cardinals and the Twins.
Yeah.
The Twins get there. I look like a genius. They get there. Look like a genius.
So.
The Indians are coming back.
Yeah, they are.
So anyways, Yankees-Dodgers, we'll see you in October.
So you think that's going to be the World Series?
As long as both teams stay healthy, I don't see anything stopping either team from being in the World
Series. And who are your two MVPs?
It's going to kill me to change my NL pick. Who did I pick in the NL to begin with?
Bellinger.
Did I pick Bellinger to begin with?
I don't know if he picked him on the show.
I'm sticking with Trout for AL MVP. I mean,
oh, God. It's Pat, we knew that. You didn't even have to say it.
Oh, it's going to hurt me so much because I want to say Yelich, but I just feel like Bellinger's going to do something. It hurts me, but I think Yelich might go back-to-back. I really do. I think he might do it. It hurts. If Bellinger wins MVP, I'm going to be even more mad, but...
So much for that landslide, huh?
I thought it was going to be a landslide.
Terrible for the brand.
Well, we didn't even... I just wanted you to say... I wanted you to say Trout, and I wanted you to get rid of the landslide. We're not even making picks. I just made you make that.
It's going
to
be Trout by a landslide still, not Bellinger.
We're talking about the DAG days here, not the end of the... Not in October.
Okay, the DAG days. Is there anything left for the DAG days?
Not really. In fact, I'm really hot over here.
I'm doing all right.
Like, I'm sweating still profusely.
All right.
It's been rough over here.
Okay.
So, let's go into our final fresh take.
We do have three of them.
We'll go to Pat first.
All right.
So, Pat.
All right.
What's your final fresh take?
Popped up right there. I know I alluded to it already. Paul had mentioned Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, faces of the team, more than just for playing, for equality all through soccer, all through women's sports, and all through society in general. It's about time these women get paid. And I understand revenue is a major, major part of how much money they then bring in. But FIFA, the United States Federation, someone needs to find a way to get these women the money that they deserve. They've won 4 of the 8 Women's World Cups. They're back-to-back champs. They put up more goals in one game than the men's team did in a 4-year span. I don't know what else to say at this point other than these women deserve their money.
Give them their money.
They deserve more money than the men's team. The men's team doesn't win. There's nothing to look forward to when the men play unless we're playing Algeria because that's going to be a draw. Woohoo. 90th minute goal from Landon Donovan to save us. Like, there's nothing to be excited about when it comes to the men's side. When it comes to the women's side, there's always excitement. They're always winning. They're always scoring. It's time that they get paid.
I give Carly Lloyd a couple bucks.
It's time that those women get paid for what they've done.
There's just something about Carly Lloyd that I like, and I just don't know.
It's her pride in America. Also, throwing this out there, Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, they're not going to hear this. If someone can relay this message to them, tell them to celebrate everything they do in life. I need more celebrations, like sipping the tea and Megan Rapinoe just going out like this and just posing for the cameras. We need more of that.
Someone relay this message to Carly Lloyd. I love you. Back to Pat.
Back to me. I'll just wrap mine up real quick. For those of you that don't think the women's team and just women in general in all sports deserve an equal opportunity and equal pay, you should check numbers on who wins.
The time is me out.
Swing it to Nick or you, whoever's taking over.
Yeah, you know.
Paul, do you have a sad note or a good, happy note?
I think mine's a hilarious note.
All right, so I'm with you.
Okay, so Nick's final fresh take.
I'll keep you sweating. He's literally sweating. But so am I, because this is starting.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
What's mine? Wimbledon.
What's mine? Oh, my God.
Wimbledon.
Bless my
just
heart.
Happened. You know, had to give him a tennis some love. Djokovic, the Joker. You guys big fans. Just won his 16th major championship. His 5th on grass at the Wimbledon. He beat Federer, an epic 5-setter in the finals, which I didn't know if you go 12-12 in the 5th set, it's a tiebreaker. And I don't like that.
No, it's brand new for Wimbledon.
Really?
They were talking about that. I shouldn't say brand new, but I think they rolled it out like only 2-3 years ago or something. It's never had
the. I don't like it. They had 3 hours of daylight, so let the kids play. Let them play. Djokovic won 3 sets all on tiebreakers. Not taking away anything from Djokovic, but let the kids play. Let them play Isner Mahut. Let them play Isner Mahut. Why not? They had 3 hours of daylight.
John Isner, Nicholas Mahut.
You have golf majors that could be played the next day. Let Wimbledon go to the next day if they have to. But
I like that. Yeah,
it was the longest finals match over the match in 2008. Actually, it was the last time Nadal and Federer had played until this year's semis at Wimbledon. It was the longest finals match in Wimbledon history. It was epic. Federer had 2 championship points. Let slip away. Djokovic kept fighting. Got that break. Kept it going. I just don't know if Djokovic does win 5 more majors and puts him over Federer. Will we ever say Djokovic is better than Federer?
Oh, that's tough.
Will we ever say, no matter how many, because he has 5 years younger than.
I'm just going to say no for the sole reason being Djokovic is ranked number one in the world, but who are the 2 tennis players that pop into people's minds right away?
Federer and Nadal.
Yeah. I don't think they're ever going to consider
him. I think he'll be overshadowed his entire career. And he's a great tennis player. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and Pat play tennis all the time. We play the same exact match every single time. Mm-hmm. Pat dominates the first set like 6-1. We do best of 3. Pat dominates the first set 6-1. I always come back. You know, I kill him the next one like 6-1. Then he wins last one like 6-3. You know, he gets upset that second set though. You know,
it gets frustrating, man.
Actually, you know what? I always come back. I start off slow. Now you get me the first set like 6-1, and then we play a really tight one. Actually, you go up like 5-0, and then I win a bunch in a row, and I come back and beat you, and you get upset.
It's frustrating. I don't like losing.
And we haven't played in a few years. We got to get back out there.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's go to Wimbledon.
Okay, let's go to Wimbledon.
But give hashtag fresh takes. Give tennis some love. We need more tennis. We need
more tennis. Let them play.
And that's really it. Ball.
Okay.
Go Joker.
Did not anticipate that, I guess. I didn't like that. But mine is, look, here's the deal. Burner accounts are resurfaced again, at least in my world today, because a NASCAR executive had a burner account that got discovered. And let me just say, stop hiding behind the damn Twitter egg.
Hashtag catfish.
Look, here's the deal. We've dealt with this enough. Kevin Durant, Brian Colangelo, others.
Durant has come out, and he did explain why he had burner accounts.
Oh, I don't care. That's not the purpose of this right now. The purpose of this is, if you're going to say it, have the freaking, you know, courage, you know, have the fortitude to do it on your own. I don't have burner accounts. Pat doesn't have burner accounts. I think Nick may have one, but that's understandable. Look, Nick, he's if famous. if you're gonna try and defend your own self, do it on your own account. Have some fortitude. Damn burner accounts, please. Like, we all know that freaking Andy friggin' 7435-1635. We all know it ain't a real person.
Spencer Dinwiddie doesn't care about burner accounts. He tweets right at people.
That's what I'm getting at.
No shame.
Just have be cool enough to have your own account.
No shame for
my sixth
man.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I love it.
You hot?
I'm sweating.
He is definitely hot.
I'm sweating.
I am sweating.
I've unbuttoned everything on my polo that I can. Like, it's friggin' hot.
Fun fact. Fun fact.
Wait, why am I chanting? I'm going to give him the fun fact. So, what some people may or may not know, about 3 weeks ago, the first colorway for Giannis's first ever signature shoe, the Zoom Freak 1 release, that was called the All Bros colorway. On Thursday of last week, the second colorway, just the very stereotypical black-white colorway came out. I think it was yesterday, colorway called Coming to America was released. So my fun fact for that, just this shoe in general, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the first ever internationally born player to have a signature basketball shoe with Nike. Nice. First ever. If anyone listening has about 5 to 10 minutes at some point, I would highly recommend reading up on the design of the shoe. It's very interesting to see all of the aspect of his family and all that stuff. They just intertwine that perfectly with the shoe. It's a great shoe. Sling it over to Nick.
Fun fact.
Get a shout out.
I did see, I'm sorry to be giving fun facts, but I did see Thinus. Videotaped his first ever bucket in the NBA with the Knicks. It was at that game.
And now he's a buck with his brother.
He did it against the Heat.
Who are you shouting out?
I am shouting out Joe's Hot.
Yeah!
I saw on Facebook that it was Joe's Hot's birthday in Seneca Falls. R.I.P. They've been gone for a few years now.
We need it back.
It was the best food around.
I can't stand to put it in your mouth. 2 a.m. Food.
Yeah, it's best 2 a.m. It was good.
There you go.
But, you know, I miss it. It ain't no Zuzu's.
Yeah, it's better.
Zuzu sucks. Zuzu's was terrible.
Hey, you respect the legend of the Zuzu's.
I don't know what's there now.
Nothing.
Bee's Cafe.
Oh, Bee's Cafe is
it's
there?
Pretty good. I like Bee's.
I mean, disrespect the name of Joe's Hots right there with that. You do not like Bee's Cafe.
My bad.
Joe's Hot, shout out. Hope you're doing well. You're not in Geneva anymore. I don't know where you are, but we'll find you.
All right. Well, thanks, Pat, for coming on.
I just shout
thanks for having me, guys. I'll be back soon in August. That's all I got.
Nice.
Check out the Zoom Freak 1, Nike.com.
Well, this guy, give us Nike as a sponsor.
I can try. I have no promises.
You're in the commercial.
I wish.
Anyway, if you haven't, you should like, share, subscribe. Like I said, off next week, back on the 20th or the 30th with, hopefully, we have them pretty much booked. Andrew Lucchesi will be joining us on the pod.
Explain who that is.
He is our boy who has been in China for the past year.
He goes from responding every minute of the day to going off the grid for the next 2 months. Anyway, so might not hear from him.
So hopefully Andrew will be on. If not, it will be me and Nick. Maybe we'll get Pat on again, depending upon If you guys haven't, like, share, subscribe.
I think I worked that day.
Yeah, other than that, we'll catch you guys on July 30th here on the Fresh Takes Podcast.
Take a shower.
Yes.